Welcome to Women in WP,
a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community.
Welcome to episode 15 of Women in WP. I'm Angela Bowman.
I'm Tracy Apps.
I'm Amy Manson.
Our guest today is Heather Acton, founder of Helio Interactive. She builds custom themes for awesome clients of all sizes. She's been a WordPress user for over a decade, is a WordCamp organizer and speaker, and has a passion for music and lots of it. Welcome, Heather.
Thank you very much.
We like to start off each episode by asking our guests to tell us about their journey into WordPress. How did you get started?
Kind of in a lackluster fashion, probably like most of us. My background in my first life, I call it, was as a mechanical engineer. So that's my degree. And I worked at Procter & Gamble in the awesome corporate environment for 10 years. Really liked the engineering work itself, but the corporate lifestyle and the climbing the corporate ladder wasn't for me. But I didn't know what else I wanted to do, so I waited until I had kids and took advantage of a one-year maternity leave policy to dabble in some other things. And it started with, I bought up about 1 million baseball cards and repackaged them into 1,000-count boxes and sold them on eBay for $10. And it was a lot of fun. I just had a hobby as a kid that I liked, so I kind of delved back into that. But it was a lot of manual work and there wasn't helping pay the bills necessarily. I did a little bit of Pampered Chef as well. It was fun, learned how to cook some things and got some cool supplies, but it also wasn't something that I felt like was going to stick. And just on a whim, I felt like I'd always wanted to build a website. This was back in 2008. And I had kids and Facebook wasn't really prevalent with a lot of our family yet. So I thought, well, I'm going to build a website to showcase our family, basically. And as I was starting to learn HTML, I got a little bit of that. But I thought, boy, this has to be more dynamic. And blogs were getting to be really popular. So I thought, oh, it's probably a blog I want to do. I had a friend on Facebook who talked all the time about WordPress. And I thought, oh, I bet WordPress is something that could help. And sure enough, as I read more, I'm like, yep, that's it. So just kind of started there, and I used the Atahualpa theme for my first family site. One of those, it's like the pre-Divi stuff where you could choose a color and not have to know CSS and all that stuff. I just didn't know how to code well enough yet, but it worked, and I got up first website. It was called chicagoactons.com. I don't think it's up anymore, and I don't even know if I have an archive, but it was the thing that kind of made everything roll. A neighbor saw that I did that. They're like, hey, we have a band. Can you build us a band website? I'm like, sure. So I built them a band website for a $50 Buffalo Wild Wings gift card. It was pretty awesome. And that's kind of where it all started. That referral path just kind of kept going. People hear that you can do it and they want you to help because they don't know how. The first few years was, you know, kind of chump change and just learning a lot. And then probably by about 2012 or so, things really started to take off. And my husband at the time was working full time and I was home with kids. So it'd be like, he'd go to work, he'd come home, and then I'd go to the computer, or weekends were my computer time, or kids napping was my computer time, but that got really tough. So we made a decision to have him leave his full-time job and let me kind of run at this WordPress development thing full-time. So we did that for a couple years and it was super stressful because I wasn't yet making enough to pay the bills, but I had to ramp up really quick. But I did it and it was a fun, stressful couple years at that point, hired first employee. And that's, I think, really when things started to go really, really well. Fast forward to now, got a full-time project manager and another full-time developer. And then we pull in contract developers as we need for plug-in specifics or things like that might fall just outside of our capability range. We partner with a creative agency. So we kind of act as one company with them and share a Dropbox, share Slack, all that good stuff. Refer each other clients or use each other on projects. And I kind of like where things are at right now. I don't have any huge desire to grow a ton, do tons of inbound marketing or any of that. Our referral sources have worked out really, really well. And we just kind of count on that. And as long as we remain steady, I think we've got a good group and we're doing good work for good people. And that's what we want to do.
That's awesome. Your path was so similar to mine. My little fun hobby when I was home with kids was I was going to be a secret shopper.
Ooh, that's fun. That is fun.
It turned out that's much more nerve-wracking than you think it's going to be. So I did not secret shop very much. But, you know, I was also home with kids and built up from there into a full-time job where, you know, for many years I was just wrangling kids. So I know exactly where you're coming from. I feel like very kindred spirits.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Was your husband like full-time stay-at-home dad during that time when he left his job?
He was for 2 years. Yep, he was. He eventually went back at the point that our kids were in school. There was really no need for somebody home all day during the day. So when they went back to school, he went back to work.
And were you working at home when they were all at home?
No, I got an office. That would have been impossible.
That's smart.
Yeah, I definitely needed another spot other than there. There might have been a short amount of time when I tried to work at home, but you know, inevitably you have a door closed and there's knocks and there's screaming in the background when you're on a call or whatever. And yeah, no.
I was going to say that I'm a former Atahualpa user as well.
All right.
And I didn't know what it meant and I couldn't really pronounce it. And I still don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but I had no idea what that meant. And then so I was planning this trip to Peru in 2009, and I thought, I'll read a history of the Inca people. And it turns out Atahualpa was the emperor of the Inca civilization when the Spaniards invaded Peru, and and he was killed, and the Spaniards took over Peru. So Atahualpa was the dude. You should read about him. He's actually pretty
interesting.
Cool, but he kind of felt like the Spaniards were just like so many flies annoying him, and like, why are they interested in all this gold? Like, for them, gold was just a thing, like seeds or something.
I wonder why the author picked that name for the theme. Like, what about his theme makes it feel like it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, like, is there a hidden meaning in this? Or
well, I think the Atahualpa theme is dead now, like the real Atahualpa.
See, there you go. It was with the foreshadowing, right?
Yes, maybe that was it.
That was it. So I have a question. So growing your business, like, what kind of things from going just solo to adding employees, like what kind of struggles and like how do you even start that process? And how is it stressful?
Very good, which is why I had these dreams, I think, back when things started to really take off and revenue was good. I had these dreams of, oh, it'd be awesome to have like a 15, 20, 30 person team. And we tried, but it was just too stressful. I think the hardest part of it was finding folks that are self-starter. This is like such trite stuff, right? But it matters. It's like, just be able to figure your way through some problem. There's no way you can train somebody on every single little type of issue you might run into on a WordPress site. So being able to figure out the root cause of a problem and fix it the right way is just, it's a skill. It's an engineering skill. And finding that mindset in folks that are reasonably priced enough for a small business is tough. It just is really tough. I feel lucky right now with the project manager and the developer I have and the few contractors. They are all that type of folks. They're varied level of actual experience, but their mindset is all the same. Like, if there's a problem, we're going to dig in, figure out how to fix it. And maybe they don't know the code to write to fix it, but that's not that it's the easy part, but that we can always find somebody to write the code if we know what the solution should be. So I would say it's like financial. There's a weird parts of growth too, that you hit a point where you've got too much work for just yourself, but you don't have enough in savings to say, oh, I feel okay hiring somebody, or you don't have enough volume for a full person. So you kind of dabble with the contractor thing, but contracting is typically more expensive and people have other projects, so yours don't get priority. It's painful. I think it's all really, really painful. There's certain folks that are built for it. And I think if you're the type of person that really wants to grow a business, like those are things you have to tackle and that's what you focus on. For me, I've always been at least 75% development. So I don't necessarily want to spend a lot of time on recruiting and HR issues and stuff like that. I just want to solve problems for people and try to surround myself with other people who do the same.
It's funny you talk about the just digging in. And because this is something I noticed being anyone who starts their own company or does freelance stuff, like you have no other choice. But
yeah.
So like it kind of baffles me when I've gone into like corporate world where the people were like, oh, I don't know how to do that. Be like, well, then find out, Google something, like,
right.
Yeah. So, and that, this is one reason why I'm like, I wonder why more companies, even like, so even in corporate or in larger agencies, or even just like nonprofits that need someone to do their website, that kind of stuff. They're always looking for a full-time person, but with a really low, really low salary.
Exactly.
Because that's what they can afford. And so I did one time, for a few years, I was working 20 hours a week for, you know, someone and had health insurance and didn't get paid very much, but it was something that was a good base. It was enough to give me right. My main thing. And then there was no conflict of interest by running my own thing and doing that stuff. I don't know why more companies, even established companies, don't even consider doing something like that.
Yeah, that's a really neat arrangement. It's a little bit of the best of both worlds. If you've got that base and something you know you can count on, and that way, if freelance work ramps up, you're okay still. But if it's non-existent for a bit, you're okay too. It kind of helps with those hills and valleys. And health insurance getting paid for is nothing to balk at.
Oh my goodness. Exactly.
Don't get me started.
We were at CrossFit the other day and like these like young kids are like lifting all this weight. And I was like, I'm not going to do that because I pay my own health insurance.
That's smart. That's smart.
Well, I love what you said about, you know, having this goal for this big agency and then realizing that the right solution was to stay small. And I've been talking to a lot of people lately that feel the same way. And I kind of feel that same way. I kind of had this idea that, oh, I'm going to bring in all these people and we're going to grow and make so much money. And then realizing I don't want to manage that many people.
Exactly.
I think that there's this push for everybody to do more, do more, do more. And I think so many of us are realizing now that that's just not the best solution.
Yeah. And some of it rolls into life as a whole as well. I've had a huge shift over the last few years, and I was obsessed with my business and WordPress development and WordCamps. I went to, you know, probably 4, 5, 6 a year, spoke at a few every year. And things have just really adjusted. My kids are at an age where they're not going to want to cuddle with me too much longer. So I try not to ever work when they're with me. Try to make sure we take good adventures on weekends and I'm not working on the weekends and things like that. So this has become, not to de-glamorize, but after 10 years, it's a job and it's a job that I like and I'm good at and I'm happy with it, but it definitely is not all of life. And I think the more, it would be irresponsible maybe in a way to take on a bunch of employees when I might not be willing to sink all of my time into the company necessarily. So we've got a good group that we support each other really well, very focused on life balance, and all take time for ourselves, but also realize that we've got jobs to do and hit deadlines. So it works out.
What kind of projects do you typically take on with your company?
Yeah, we've got really three buckets. The first one is obviously custom theme build. So most folks that come to us for a full website, they need design and development. So we have our design team take care of that part of it. And then we'll do the theme build. We still use we did build our own little framework off of Underscore. So we do still use Underscores. We put Bootstrap Grid in there a couple years ago and ACF layout fields. So there's a simple builder in there, not Divi Builder or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's just to enter content in various arrangements. We call it, it's like our 30-hour head start on every project, because every project has two columns with text and image. Every site has a hero, blah, 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 all that. So that's the first bucket. It's probably about a third of the work. The second bucket is hosting and maintenance of sites. So we host and maintain about 55 client sites or so. Keep them on WP Engine, and we take care of all the updates on a weekly basis, run the malware scans, make sure the updates are viable, make sure they have an SSL certificate and it's all green, all that good stuff, like just help site health. So nothing hopefully ever goes wrong. Just a little more of a proactive approach. And so that's second, bud. That's the second bucket. Third bucket is like all the other random stuff that just because we worked with folks are like, hey, can you do this too? It's MailChimp list management and automations and email templates. It's analytics and Google Data Studio. I've been doing some work with Drip lately. So it's all those ancillary systems, third-party integrations that folks need help with. API integrations, if they, you know, if they've got something else going on in their site. But that part is just a big mishmash, and that's where we tend to pull in contract help if, some of these API integrations are just way, way over my head, but we've got a guy who's real good with that stuff. So it works out. But yeah, it's fun.
One of the things that people are always asking for help from me is setting up their email. And I really, really hate doing that. I mean, and they can never figure out how to put it in their phone. And I'm like, you know, if I was in the room with you, I could take your phone and I would get you all set up, but right. I'm not. And so, but I find that just because we work in this field that people think that you're going to be able to help them and fix like any technological problem.
The amount of people that have asked me to help them set up their printer is.
I have the same thing with the email. I told someone, I am not an IT professional.
Like, right.
And they just didn't understand that because the email is so intricate as a part of the web, and they see web and email as the same thing.
Yeah.
And yeah. How do you handle that? And do you recommend any particular like Google Suite or something like that?
Yeah, we recommend G Suite. And generally, if it's a migration, we try to talk people out of migrating. Honestly, it's just not worth the pain. We try to pop all the emails over to somebody's, you know, personal computer at one point and then just say, start fresh. Yeah, your sent mail is not going to be in your sent mail anymore from a year ago, but just move forward with that. But it's funny on the IT support, literally like 2 weeks ago, I had a 12-year-old MacBook Pro sitting on my desk, all taken apart from an old neighbor. she's fresh out of college, has no money. She's like, hey, can you fix my computer? I'm like, yeah, I could probably figure it out. But it takes like 3 days. I replaced the hard drive, then replaced it again, and it ended up being a hard drive cable. But it's like, you know, we have the mind for that stuff. That's the thing. Like once folks know you are a techie or are a developer, then we can set up printers pretty quick. We can fix computers, and it's just how our brains work.
I was going to ask because mechanical engineering, actually, when I grew up, as I was a kid, everyone was like, I want to be a firefighter. I wanted to be a mechanical engineer. And everyone was like, that's very specific. And I was like, I don't know. So what kinds of things have from your first life, what has carried over into this life?
Yeah, I always say, definitely from college, like the biggest thing in college, I feel like that an engineering degree gives you is that ability to think through a problem methodically and get to root cause. And then even testing, I would say like writing out test scenarios for different things. It's that mindset all the way through. When you're in college and you're doing all these weird equations, you know, I remember doing equations on like jet engines and like heat transfer, and I don't remember any of those equations at all. None of that matters, but I totally respect the path that they were trying to take our brain. And that was essentially my job at Procter & Gamble too. I was in initiatives and for a while ran a toilet paper converting line. So I took toilet paper from like these huge, like 80-inch diameter rolls to the little rolls that we get at home and wrapped them up. And you know, there'd be problems on the line, like our wrapper would have what they called stops, where it would stop, and it would happen a lot. And they'd be like, oh, can you come take a look? And you'd look and you'd watch what happened. And you'd just have to be able to figure out, based on watching something and making it do different things, what was causing it to stop all the time, and then what's the right fix for it long term. And that's the same stuff with code. I always say, I used to solve problems with related to gears and pulleys, and now I solve problems with code. It's, you know, similar thing, just different application.
But you solve toilet paper problems, and that is amazing.
There were some major toilet paper problems.
There's a joke in there somewhere.
I don't know how clean the show is, but we'll keep it that way, I suppose.
It doesn't have to be very clean. It just depends on our guest. So if our guest is not clean, we're not clean.
I gotcha.
It's our show. No one's so far paying us to do this.
We roll with it. So
unless Amy wants to do another
sponsor.
Women in WP after dark.
Outtakes. Great. Women in WP outtakes.
I love it. You know, it's funny because you talk about that. Like, I never really made that connection, but whenever I work on anything technology, I want to, especially being a designer and UX person, I realized I'm unique in this, where I was like, no, I want to know how the system works in the back end, because that's how I'm going to figure out how to understand at a better level, a deeper level, so that I can make a user interface that will do all those things. And like, and it's interesting, like I print out all these like documentation and all these things, and everyone just kind of looks at me like, okay, cool. I'm like, nope, I want to learn it. I want to see, like, I'm going to get in the nitty gritty.
Exactly. You have to.
Yeah. I was wondering about, just, you've been doing this for a while. We've all been doing this for a while, probably about the same amount of time. And there's a lot of new kids on the block and they want to be doing it. And sometimes the customers want to be doing it themselves. Do you ever come across situations in which customers don't appreciate or respect the complexity involved with, I guess respect is a big word, with what's happening? Like, oh, can you just show me how to code that PHP template for my custom post type with all these special fields that I want you to add to it myself? And yeah, I'm just curious about how you've dealt with that.
You know, from an overall respect standpoint, I do remember times getting started when, you know, you have that imposter syndrome, and it's allowed at that point because you're new or whatever. And I do remember struggling with folks just respecting, like they couldn't understand why they couldn't ask for anything and just have you do it. And that some things were easier and some things were harder. As years have gone on, whether it's a confidence thing or whether it's just we're much more picky with clients, we don't run into that too much. At this point, folks come to us because they know we're going to do good work. I think maybe some of it goes with the price point too. When you're only paying $600 for a site, sometimes you don't get the best clients. And when folks are, you know, paying in the five digits or so for a site, they know what they're getting. They know they have high expectations, but they're also much more reasonable. The latest client request I had of, can I do this myself, is, hey, we just want to change link colors sometimes in our navigation. She's like, can you just give us a way to do that? And I said, look, I could show you how to do it, but I said, there's like six link states like you have to consider. So if you change one, you also need to make sure you change the hover and the visit and the focus. And I said, active. And you really want to do all that? She's like, never mind. Sorry, I asked. We'll have you take care of it. So it's sometimes just being able to throw a little bit of jargon out there to make it clear, like, this isn't, it's not just like a color picker that lets you change the color of a link. It's there's a lot of other things to consider, and what global effects does it have? And you can just explain that simply to a client, it definitely helps, and they tend to back off a little bit.
I always add in there something like, I mean, because, you know, thinking through it in a UX standpoint of like, oh, the accessibility, the like all of those things. And then people just, I could just see them halfway through my explanation of it. They just zone out and they're like, okay, they gave up. Like, yeah. I don't want to know any more about UX and accessibility and design. Okay, here you go.
I think that's so funny you use that example, because I had a client ask me the same question just a few weeks ago, and I actually gave them the CSS selector just for the link, the active state. And so they changed it to a very light gray baby blue. And I'm like, this isn't very visible. So yeah, they can't be trusted even if they are given the power. And I think you're right about the price point. Like, that's huge. That it seems like it's the people who really don't have a budget for a site, who really underestimate the complexity of it. And there is this sort of mythology out there about how easy WordPress is. And it is really complicated, and it's really hard to balance what we're communicating in the WordPress communities about, oh, look, this is easy. Everyone, we're democratizing the web, and everyone, or democratizing publishing, and everyone should be able to build this fancy brochure site with these pre-made tools. But even given all the tools, it's still really hard. And I'm glad that I'm in the custom theme development space too, because I don't really have to deal with those people as much, but I lead a couple meetup groups where I do, and I do speak at WordCamps. And how do you ever find yourself speaking to the general public and the smaller people, and what do you say to them, and how do you explain to them when they've been presented with this concept of easy that it is, they might have to pony up a budget?
Yeah, after I get off my rant about whatever theme forest theme they bought, to me, it's really simple. It's like, if you're trying to go with anything exactly the way you want it 100% the way you want it, that's not easy. It just isn't. If you're willing to go, grab a WP Engine account and get your site up and start blog, that's easy. You know, most folks can manage through that, but there's definitely a balance between customization and just taking what's out of the box. WordPress can be very easy, but it also can be very complex. I get a little bit disheartened sometimes with the WordPress is easy stuff, and I think it's a bit misleading, and it's kind of been part of the brand for so long. I get it. It sells, but it almost demeans, I think, in some ways what we do and how complex things could be. But again, a lot of that goes with client or individual, and they'll learn when they try to do some things on their own that it is not easy unless you're staying within the bounds of the theme that you purchased or a few plugins.
Well, my motto is WordPress is easy to use. It's not easy to build.
That's perfect.
And I think people really get confused because they're like, oh, it's so easy. Everybody says it's so easy. And then they try it and it's so hard because, you know, they buy their $40 theme and install it. And even just buying the $40 theme, you know, it's got 10 pages of documentation that they've got to follow that may or may not be written by somebody that spoke English as a first language and can be really complicated to follow. Even just installing their easy out of the box theme, it can be really complicated, more complicated than they think.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then having to fill in about 7 million spots of with, you know, images and contents to make it look like the example.
Yeah, because even when you buy the $40 theme, it just doesn't magically appear like that. You still have to, you know, either put in all the widgets or add all the plugins and fill in all.
Like, do I have to write all of that content? Okay. I've gotten that. I was like, okay, well, how many pages are like, oh, we want this and this and this. Okay, great. Well, this is all the content. Here's the spreadsheet of all the content that you all have to write. Okay, maybe we don't need that or that.
Okay. We really don't need an FAQ.
Well, and then, you know, they'll be like, well, the theme's only $40. So, you know, I just want to hire you to install it for me because they can't figure it out. And I would rather I won't even do that anymore. I used to, Sure, I'll help you out, because I just always want to help everybody. And it's just not worth it because those themes are so awful.
Yeah, they're rough. They're rough. We've inherited quite a few Divi sites, and I've never built a site with Divi, but I'm kind of like you had that. I felt bad for folks that got left with a Divi site and their developer just took off or whatever. So like, yeah, we'll take it on. But then they want to make a million design changes to it, design changes that aren't available in the 16 tabs or 42 open boxes in the Divi builder. So making those changes in development then are really a pain. And there's styles in the customizer, and there's styles in Divi theme options, and there's styles in the tab of that random little text box. It's just, it's such a mess. But
and then it doesn't transfer well to something else because exactly. It's all, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just a pain. It's a pain overall. So I like when folks, you know, hit us early, or if it's at a meetup or whatever, and they're like, hey, I'm thinking about putting up a website. What should I consider? And quite honestly, I usually recommend Squarespace over Divi and WordPress almost any day, just because Squarespace, at least you go in knowing that you're kind of in a box, and it's like, go to Squarespace, pick out your template or whatever, focus right now on your sitemap and your content and your imagery. Get that stuff set. Don't worry a ton about your overall design. But once you've got those things, then you're more set to go with a WordPress site, because you've got your part of it a little more complete and you've learned some things. Then go do the custom route. But yeah, it's tough. It's tough. All those builder themes.
A good friend of mine recently, he's a photographer, and he was trying to build his own site, and he was asking me for tips. And then he went Squarespace after he couldn't figure out WordPress, which is, you know, fine. And it's really probably the right choice for a photographer that wants to do it himself website. And he's like, well, all the photographers now, they're all running from WordPress, and they're all talking about how, you know, WordPress is terrible. And I said, well, that's because they're photographers and they're not web developers.
Right.
And they probably, you know, if they hired someone, they just installed a ThemeForest theme that you had to go through 17 tabs of settings panels just to set your site up.
Exactly. I would never even recommend WordPress for a do-it-yourselfer, in fact. I just don't think I would.
I agree.
Yeah, same here. I recommend Squarespace mm-hmm. all the time.
I think that's a really good, like, process, though, because, you know, people don't realize, like, oh, I just want a website. Like, but why do you want a website? What are you trying to say? Like, that, like, removes that, the extra layer of, like, now how is it going to look? Of, no, just, like, what are you saying? And gather that. And that's a really good way of starting them out, because I think that's a good focus. That's where you should be starting. Like, what am I saying? And then I'll figure out how it's going to look.
Exactly. And the templates there are decent. It's not like they're bad. They look like a lot of sites on the web right now. So
pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. But that way, then they also realize, Tracy, you had mentioned about, you know, they need to write their content and things like that. And that makes it really clear, like, separate the two phases of your project, get all the content right, and then take it the next step. When you're making some money, have a little bit to invest and do it right, then go the next step and get a more robust, flexible base.
I think that's super smart. Nathan Ingram did a talk at a WordCamp that I was at recently, and he talked about, even before you start working with the client, is this assessment process of even seeing if they're ready for a website. And it was fascinating to me, because it was like, wow, how many people have I engaged and had a very frustrating process for many months or even longer who just simply weren't ready. And I'm just going to start using that, like, go to Squarespace once you can prove to me.
Or what they really needed was a Facebook business page.
Yeah. Exactly. And sometimes I've said that to people, maybe you need a Facebook business page. Maybe you don't even need a website, or you're not ready yet. And I love that. So
that is great.
Very validating. Yeah.
Absolutely. Does anybody else feel bad recommending Squarespace? Given, like, wasn't Gutenberg like a direct attempt to keep market share away from Squarespace? And now here we are, a group of four developers saying
something like that. Well, I mean, honestly, because right now I'm working on updating my custom theme so that I can have Gutenberg blocks that I can control, because again, like, that's you run into the same problem with, you know, Divi, with all of, you know, 7,232 like different options that I have, and I'm just scrolling through and I'm overwhelmed. Like, no, here are these things that are tailored to what you are trying to put out there, like, according to, because you are a photographer, so these are the things that you will use. These are the layouts that you will use. Otherwise, you're right. Like, I do kind of feel bad, but until I have something that I can say, here, use this, because I know that it's not going to overwhelm you.
Right.
It's otherwise it just gets people frustrated, and then they just, yeah. And then they get frustrated with WordPress in general and think that it's WordPress, and then they go to something else.
Exactly. They don't realize that it's the theme that they've chosen. No, it's brilliant with the Gutenberg blocks that are slimmed down with not so many options.
And I'm just not in love with Gutenberg yet. So I'm not going to lie. I'm trying, but I'm just not there.
Yeah. Us either.
we need like a, just maybe that's going to be a side conversation where we just talk about Gutenberg. And like strategy on like, okay, well, how do we go forward? Like, all right.
Yeah. I wasn't going to go on too much of a rant about that. I don't know how many times that's come up in previous podcasts, but I imagine.
Not that many, really.
Really? Oh my goodness.
Rant away.
Yeah, I do have a strategy, which is basically, I'm just using it for the blog posts for people. And there's some nice features with the images and image galleries, and there are some blocks that are nice, and it's working really great for blog posts, and people seem to be fine with it. They've had a little bit of frustration with, are they on the document kind of tab or the block tab, maybe deleting a block. But, you know, once you kind of get them a little bit oriented, I think it's a fine editing experience that way. But in terms of trying to do layout with it, it's just so squirrely, and a lot of the bugs or the Gutenberg plugins are a little buggy, and it would slow me down too much. I tried to build with it.
Yeah, I keep like clicking in random things. I was like, I don't know where this is. Why can't I just turn on the borders? So I just did that in my custom theme and just changed it and turned on some borders and then made it wider, because also I was like, why is it 432 pixels wide? Like, yeah. I have a 30-inch monitor. Like, come on, give me a control of this.
I literally had to Google how to get three columns. Like, I had two columns. I'm like, how do I get three? And I know it exists, but I should know how to do this. Why is it so hard for me that's been making websites for 13 years? I can't figure it out. I did finally figure it out. That's my Gutenberg rant.
It's not intuitive. The way they've done it is not intuitive. Everything's hidden and disappeared. And I think
it's trendy and slick, but not.
Yeah. So it's user. Still not there for the do-it-yourselfer. It's
agreed.
It's still not a tool I would recommend.
It's like WordPress for millennials. Is that nice and sleek, but yeah.
It's like Tumblr? Is that still around? I don't know. The kids use these days.
If you can figure out Snapchat, you can figure out Gutenberg.
Oh my goodness. That's probably true. Snapchat is a nightmare too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, where's the buttons? I just want a menu. How did I get there? I swiped somewhere. Now, where am I? I don't know.
All my mom friends and I were out having wine, and the millennial waitress had to sit there and give us Snapchat lessons. And she kept coming back to give us more lessons because we were just too dumb to figure it out. She got a good
I tip. Actually bought a domain, crotchetycurmudgeon.com, and it was going to do a video podcast where we would tweet and then just complain about the technology and the websites of these days. It never really got off the ground.
I think that needs a restart.
Yes.
Yeah.
It'll be an offshoot of this.
Complain about Gutenberg, Snapchat. I love it.
All the new Facebook redesign. I don't know where that button went.
And did you see where they put the groceries at the grocery store? Yeah. They moved everything.
We have talked about like our choices in our careers. We were talking about with Tara about this with, you know, are we going to learn JavaScript and are we going to learn React? Are we just going to hire for stuff that we need? And, you know, as we are settling into our careers, just deciding where we want to put our mental focus and energy. And I think Amy said, I can do a lot better learning SEO. And how do you feel in terms of being a mature developer, like the perception, do your clients appreciate the maturity that you bring to the projects? Do you ever find that you're competing with younger developers? How does that end up playing out for you?
Yeah, I think there's definitely the experience is definitely helpful. The years of experience and just the way we tend to talk to clients, like adults. I tend to be very honest, very transparent. I get the word candor all the time. People always say, I appreciate your candor, which I think I know what that means, but I'm not entirely sure. I'm only half adult. But yeah, the respect is not typically a problem. And I'll be honest, I don't really, if we are technically competing with a younger agency or something, like, it doesn't really bother me. I just like to make sure that folks are comparing apples to apples and making sure if they're not going to go with us, that they've at least got a big document from us, making them think about things that they should be asking this younger team about, that because they might not have the experience. And that's really it. I think that should be kind of part of what all of us do, just contributing to the greater good of the web, and hoping that no matter who ends up serving a client, they're going to represent WordPress in a way that is positive and not negative. That's only good for all of us. Somebody mentioned though learning JavaScript. I haven't decided on that one yet.
Jury's still out of that.
Yeah, it'll be like, you know, JavaScript for WordPress, kind of like I learned PHP for WordPress. I don't really know all of PHP, but I know PHP for WordPress.
So. I call it PHP Lite.
Yes.
When I know WordPress, it's PHP Lite.
Yes.
It'd be JavaScript Lite, kind of.
Yes.
It's WP underscore PHP.
Yes, exactly.
Well, it's been so great having you on today. Before we go, can you tell everybody where we can find you online?
Absolutely. Probably the best place is heliointeractive.com. Please don't be judgmental of the 4-year-old website that hasn't been updated in forever, but that is a spot we can be found. Is that true for every development team too? That's, oh my goodness. Yeah, that's right. I'm on Twitter. I'm Heather Acton. Just Heather Acton.
Well, awesome. Well, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you all. I really had fun with the conversation. I appreciate you having me.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter or join our Facebook group. We would be honored if you subscribe to the show. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes. Finally, if you want to be on the show or know someone who would, visit our website at womeninwp.com. Until next time.